Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. You may have heard about the buzz around this solar eclipse happening on Monday. I chatted with Frank Florian from the TELUS World of Science about what we can expect to see here in Alberta with the solar eclipse, as well as some other things happening in space and in the sky this year and next. Joining me on the phone here today is Frank Florian about the upcoming solar eclipse. He is the Senior Manager Planetarium and Space Sciences at the TELUS World of Science in Edmonton. Frank, how's it going here today?
Hey, it's going great today, and I'm looking forward to this April 8th eclipse. I really am.
Well, there is a lot of buzz surrounding this upcoming eclipse that's hitting parts of North America. What can you tell us about what's happening?
Well, on April 8th, certain parts of North America, coming all the way from Mexico, going through certain U.S. states and into eastern Canada, individuals along this very narrow path will be able to see a total solar eclipse, which is a really, really rare event. Any one location on the Earth only gets to see a total solar eclipse, usually once in a 400-year period. So for those along this very, very narrow path going up from Mexico through the U.S. and into eastern Canada, they're going to be in for quite a treat if they get some clear skies.
What exactly is a solar eclipse?
Well, a solar eclipse is basically when the moon comes in between the sun and the Earth, and there's a direct line between the sun to the moon to the Earth, where the moon itself blots out a portion of the sun, or covers up a portion of the sun, which is called a partial solar eclipse. And if the moon itself covers the entire disk of the sun as it passes over the sun, that's called a total solar eclipse. So depending upon where you are, you'll either be able to see a partial solar eclipse or a total solar eclipse. Now, with a partial solar eclipse, when you have that that alignment happening that way, it's very dangerous to look at the sun just because you're looking up at the sun itself, and you never look at the sun on any given day. And whenever there's any portion of the sun that's visible directly, it's very dangerous. You can hurt your eyes. But during a total solar eclipse, when the moon covers the entire disk of the sun, which can happen, each year you might be able to get a total solar eclipse somewhere around the world. Well, that's when you can look up the sun safely, when the moon totally blots out the sun completely. And that's what makes these events so rare.
Now, it will be a total eclipse in only some parts of Canada. What can we expect to see here in northern Alberta?
Well, in northern Alberta, anywhere in Alberta, we just get to see a partial solar eclipse. From Edmonton, where I am, we only see about 23% of the area of the sun being obscured by the disk of the moon. If you're further south, like near Calgary or Lethbridge, you get to see a little bit more, but still nothing that great, about 27% or so. The further north you go in Alberta, the less of this eclipse you get to see. It's only going to be a partial again from anywhere here in western Canada. So, again, you won't be able to see that beautiful, spectacular view of a total solar eclipse here from Alberta, but you will be able to see, if you have the proper safe viewing methods to do so, a partial solar eclipse.
Will there be any changes to brightness of the sun when the partial eclipse happens here in Fort McMurray?
You know, that's a good question. With us here in Alberta only getting a partial solar eclipse, anyone outside on that particular day will probably notice no noticeable difference in brightness of the daytime sky. Everything will look as normal for the most part. There's going to be really no real dimming, with only that small percentage of the sun being obscured from Alberta, from Fort McMurray. You're not going to see any difference in the brightness of the sun.
If someone wanted to see this partial eclipse, how can they do that safely?
Yeah, there's the best way is actually an indirect means, just basically taking a sheet of aluminum foil or something like that, putting a little pinhole in it, and then standing with your back to the sun and project that image of the sun through the little pinhole onto the ground or onto a white piece of paper, and you'll see that there's actually a little chunk taken out of this circle, and that's actually the image of the moon covering up that portion of the sun. That's an indirect means of looking at it. It's a, sort of like a pinhole box projector. You can do it in a box too, cut a little hole in the box, put some aluminum foil in it, put a little pinprick in the aluminum foil, and then project at the back of the box an image of this kind of eclipsed sun. That's, again, a very safe indirect means of looking at the sun. if you want to look at the sun directly, you'll need to have some very special solar viewing glasses, which are available. We do sell them here at Tell School of Science Edmonton. Many science centers across North America right now are selling them as well. You can get them online as well, but you have to be very, very careful. I heard that there's actually some artificial or ones that are not in proper solar filters, and if you're using the improper solar filter to look directly at the sun, that could damage your eyes. So it's very important that you get the very special glasses that are certified by the British Standards Institute. And those ones should be able to allow you to look at the sun safely, or they will allow you to look at the sun safely. And those of you with telescopes, don't ever use a telescope to look directly at the sun unless you have a solar filter at the front or at the aperture of your telescope to reduce the light going through your optical system. And there are safe solar viewing filters you can get that fit over the front of telescopes. So unless you have that, never use your telescope to look at the sun, because you're going to, it's like a magnifying glass. If you've ever been on a nice sunny day and use a magnifying glass to kind of burn some paper with the bright sunlight, well, that would happen to your eye too very swiftly with a telescope. So yeah, you don't want to use a telescope just with the lens alone. You need to have a safe solar filter for that as well.
We have a ton of welders up here in Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo. Is a shade 13 or 14 welding shield safe?
On number 14 is the only safe welder's glass that you should use. So if it's welders and they have a number 14 welder's glass, that's the darkest shade there is, yes. Many years in the past, that was the number one go-to for direct viewing of solar eclipses, was a number 14 welder's glass. Nowadays, you can get these other sort of inexpensive solar viewers, which sort of somewhat replace that. But if you don't have these solar filtered glasses, then a number 14 welder's glass, and only number 14 welder's glass, will allow you to look at the sun safely during a partial solar eclipse.
And how long will the eclipse last?
Well, here in Alberta, we get to see it for about, for the partial eclipse anyway, from the time the moon starts to cover up a portion of the sun to mid-eclipse to when the moon starts to kind of move off from the view of the sun. That's about an hour and 45 minutes or so. Depending upon where you are, it could be a little bit more or a little bit less. Southern Alberta gets to see it a little bit more, and Northern Alberta gets to see it a little bit less. But it's, the whole progression itself from here in Alberta is about an hour and 45 minutes or so.
We'll hear more from Frank Florian from the TELUS World of Science in Edmonton after the break here on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. We continue our conversation with Frank Florian from the TELUS World of Science in Edmonton about the solar eclipse. Since we're talking about the sun here, Frank, I've heard there's an unusual amount of solar activity happening. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, you bet. The sun itself has been very active. The sun undergoes an 11-year solar cycle where it kind of wanes in activity and then gets really aggressive again and starts to blow its top, where it throws off material in what we call coronal mass ejections. Right now, we are at the solar max. This is when the sun is most active. And up in Fort McMurray, you've probably been able to see some incredible northern lights over the past few days. We're around the time of equinox, which makes it even more pronounced, but the sun being active like that leads way to these beautiful, spectacular northern lights that we've been able to see here in Alberta.
This rise in solar activity, what's causing the, is that what's causing the northern lights that we've been seeing a lot lately? And they seem to be getting more and more vibrant and more common than usual.
Yeah, again, with us at solar maximum right now in this 11-year cycle, that means the sun is very active. And, on any given day, it's blowing off material. This activity, as I mentioned, kind of increases and decreases. And right now, we're at the max of this activity, meaning that when we do take our telescopes with the safe solar filters and looking at the sun during this eclipse, you'll be able to see little black specks on the sun. Those are called sunspots, and those are some of the active regions on the sun itself that lead way to these huge explosions of solar material in these what's called a coronal mass ejection, where it takes a portion of its atmosphere and just throws it out into space. And these are electrically charged particles. Those particles make their way to the Earth, interact with the Earth's magnetic field, and illuminate get the gases to glow in our Earth's atmosphere near the north and south magnetic poles, and that's what gives way to these beautiful northern lights that we see. And so, yeah, the sun being this active, we're going to be seeing active auroral displays all year long. And then after, then once we get into next year and the year after that, it'll slowly start to wane. It won't be as energetic anymore, and the northern lights, we'll see them every so often, but they won't be as common as we're going to be seeing right now over this year.
I've read somewhere that solar activity can sometimes interfere with communications, satellites, and electronics. How likely is that to happen during this peak in solar activity?
It's already happened, yeah. Whenever we get up to these periods of solar maximum, satellite operators have to be very cautious about these types of events, sometimes even having to shut down their satellites just so that they can minimize the amount of damage done to the satellite in Earth orbit. So, yeah, there's satellites in Earth orbit that get disrupted by these huge explosions from the sun. Again, this material is electrically charged particles, basically, and it's, you know, electrically charged particles like what you get in your wiring at home. It's electrons moving. So whenever you get kind of electrical particles moving, they can upset other electrical devices, in this case satellites. The ionosphere of the Earth gets perturbed by these very strong discharges from the sun, and radio communication can get a bit jumbled at times. If you're using like shortwave radios, things like that, radio stations here on the Earth, sometimes these huge events on the sun can even affect our power transmission here on the Earth. Back in 1987, Quebec Hydro lost one of their generators due to back currents into the generator due to these really strong discharges from the sun that kind of buckled our magnetic field. And when our magnetic field moves very quickly back and forth, it induces currents in transmission wires here on the Earth, which can kind of really wreak havoc on the power generating stations that we do have. Now, thankfully, we haven't had any of these big power outages yet, but with the sun being so active, you just never know. These events could reoccur like it did in 1987 and put a portion of North America or anywhere else in the world into the dark for a little while.
How often do those events, that like what happened in 1987, how often do they occur?
Yeah, no, that one was sort of definitely a one-off. That was a very strong kind of a roll display. I mean, the aurora that we got to see in the sky at that time was incredible. I went outside as a kid to looking up at the sky, and even from my own backyard here in Edmonton, we went street lighting. It was an incredible display. I didn't realize at the time what it was actually doing in Quebec with the power generating station, but it just goes to show that these types of events can and have occurred, and when they do, they can do some incredible damage. Now, I have not heard of anything lately of anything really being affected that much with these events in terms of our power generation, but I have heard that with communication satellites, we've lost a few of those. There's been satellites that have actually degraded in their orbits as well, just because the solar wind, when it pushes in the upper atmosphere in that, it makes the air, it pushes satellites down lower to a more denser air, and those satellites will sometimes just fall back to Earth due to that. They kind of decay rather quickly. So SpaceX lost a bunch of satellites due to that they launched with their Starlink series. They put them up, but then there was a huge kind of explosion on the sun, and that material made its way to the Earth, and Elon Musk and gang actually lost a bunch of satellites that were supposed to be put into low Earth orbit that didn't quite make it because the solar flux basically created these satellites to decay in their orbit faster. So yeah, these things do occur all the time. Having one of these really big ones occur, yeah, it's anyone's guess when it might happen again.
How long will this peak last, and what happens after it?
Yeah, this peak itself lasts about a year, 2 years maybe, and then it starts to wane. It doesn't mean that it goes away completely. It just gets, you don't see as many of these kind of active events on the sun. And then at minimum, when you do look at the sun safely using special solar telescopes, you'll find that the sun doesn't have these black spots on it anymore. These sunspots just disappear at what's called solar minimum. And at that time, the sun isn't as active as at solar maximum. So the amount of northern lights we get to see in the night sky actually does diminish around solar minimum. You can still see them once in a while. There's still stuff that's always flowing away from the sun. But to see these really spectacular northern lights, we don't normally get to see a lot of them during solar minimum. And again, with everything else, there's a less chance of having any of these solar events at solar minimum affect our satellites, communication, and other types of things that rely upon, you know, electricity and computer technology.
Thanks for joining us on Fort McMurray Matters. Our conversation with Frank Florian from the TELUS World of Science continues after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally, as we wrap up our conversation with Frank Florian from the TELUS World of Science. Back to eclipses for a moment here. Will we ever see a total eclipse up here in Fort McMurray? And if so, when?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and the answer to that is yes. Again, normally any one location in the Earth gets a total solar eclipse visible in once in about a 400-year period. It just so happens that in 20 years' time, on August 22nd, 2044, there's going to be a total solar eclipse visible from almost all of Alberta. Mountain parks here, Jasper, Banff, Calgary, Red Deer, Edmonton, Fort McMurray. I'd have to check to see if Fort McMurray is within the area of totality, but it actually bends upward, northward, and it's going to be visible in the early evening, starting around 6 o'clock time on August 22nd, 2044. So that's the total solar eclipse that here in Alberta, many of us will be able to get to see if we have a clear sky on that particular day. So that's a pretty rare event. I'm looking forward to it. Leading up into that particular total solar eclipse, so there are a few other partial solar eclipses that are going to be visible from Alberta over the next 20 years' time. So there's 8 more partial eclipses, so ones that don't cover the entire sun. And probably up at Fort McMurray, there's going to be a really good one on January 29th, 2029. Up in Fort McMurray, you're going to see greater than 80% of the area of the sun being obscured by the disk of the moon. So it's not a total solar eclipse by any means, but it's a really deep partial eclipse that, again, when you do look at it, you'll see a lot of the sun being obscured. Once it gets up to about 80, 90%, there might be a difference in the brightness of your surrounding environment. Again, it's still going to be pretty bright out, but you might notice that things look a little bit different. So leading up until the total solar eclipse of August 22nd, 2044, there are going to be some fairly good partial eclipses that we'll be able to see here from Alberta, from Fort McMurray, Edmonton, and other locations.
I understand there's also lunar eclipses, one coming up this fall on September 18th, then a total lunar eclipse on March 14th of next year, 2025. What can you tell me about those, and what could we expect to see?
Right, yeah, so there's two types of eclipses, lunar eclipses and solar eclipses. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon covers a portion of the sun. Oh, for a lunar eclipse, that's when the Earth comes in between the sun and the moon, and the Earth casts a shadow out into space. And when it does that, the moon, in its orbital motion around the Earth, will move into that shadow of the Earth, taking on sometimes a reddish appearance due to it being in the dark portion of the Earth's shadow called the umbra. These events always either come before or after a solar eclipse by a couple of weeks, because the alignment between the sun, Earth, and the moon is still very close. When you get these alignments for solar eclipses, you'll have like 14, 15 days later that you'll have the alignment of the moon on the other side, where it'll go through the Earth's shadow. And that's why we will always find lunar eclipses around these times of solar eclipses, just offset by a couple of weeks. For the one in September 18th, that's just a very subtle partial lunar eclipse. Just a northern tip of the moon goes into the Earth's umbral shadow, creating just a little, almost like a dark region at the top of the moon. And if you look at it, and lunar eclipses, of course, are very safe to look at because you're not looking at the sun directly or anything like that. You're just looking at the effect of the Earth's shadow into space on the moon. And so, yeah, the one on September 18th, just a very shallow partial lunar eclipse, but the one in March of 2025, well, that one's going to be a total lunar eclipse that we'll be able to see. And that's where the moon goes into this dark portion of the Earth's shadow called the umbra. And when it does that, it takes on a coppery or a reddish glow. You have to realize that during a total lunar eclipse, there's no direct sunlight reaching the surface of the moon, but the Earth, having an atmosphere, will bend a little bit of red light towards the moon, making the moon take on this kind of eerie reddish glow, coppery reddish glow, when it's in the total eclipse phase. So they're quite spectacular. Total lunar eclipses, and even the partial lunar eclipses, are not as rare as solar eclipses or total solar eclipses, but they are definitely a spectacle in themselves.
Are there any other big astronomical events coming up that we can enjoy up here in Fort McMurray?
Yeah, there's a comet that might actually be quite bright in our sky come October. It's one that might become as bright as some of the brighter stars that we see in the nighttime sky. And so looking skyward in October, the sky's darkened early enough that you might be seeing a comet, one of these interlopers from the outer solar system coming in and putting on this kind of nice display where you see something that looks like a hairy star, like a point of light that has this kind of wash of light stretched away from it, which is the comet's tail. They are quite spectacular. No one's really sure if this one's going to be like a big showstopper. Right now, our estimates have it that it should be quite bright, but you never know with comets. They're like cats. They do whatever they want to do, and we just kind of sit by and just kind of see what happens. And this one here is the same thing. It's going to be a fairly big event if it does prove to be a nice bright comet in our skies in the fall period.
I remember a couple of years ago, there was a big meteor shower that I could see up in the sky where I was living. Any signs of a meteor shower coming up here soon?
Well, we do have meteor showers throughout the entire year. Some are minor, some are more major ones. The best summer one is actually the Perseid meteor shower, and that occurs around August 12th and 13th. You usually get to see about 100 to 120 meteors per hour from a dark location. Now, for meteor showers, it really all depends what the moon is up to. If the moon's up in the night sky, it brightens the sky, and you're only going to see, a lot lesser numbers of the fainter meteors because they're going to be washed out by the brightness of the sky. But if it's basically a sky that's nice and dark, there's no moon in the sky, you can look up and see the Perseid meteor shower. And that's the summer's best meteor shower. And every summer when I'm out and about, there's always people that go out into the country somewhere, just park their car somewhere and look up and just watch these meteors. They're quite spectacular. So that's really one of the best meteor showers of the summer period. Then we get into the fall period and into the winter, and the Geminids in December, around December 14th, and the Quadratids around January 3rd, 4th. They're also very strong meteor showers. So those are the ones to kind of watch. But there are other minor meteor showers throughout the year. And on any given night, if you're out and about, you might see a few bright meteors. In fact, right now, since we're in our spring period, the spring period is notoriously known to have some very, very bright meteors crossing your sky. They're called the spring fireballs. So if you're out and about on a nice clear night looking up, there's a good chance you could see one of these extremely bright interlopers, these little bits of rock passing through the Earth's atmosphere, burning up, creating quite the sight.
Well, what can you tell us about what's happening down at TELUS World of Science in Edmonton there that would be worth making the trip down to Edmonton for from Fort McMurray?
Yeah, so, if people are interested, we do have an observatory here, too, in the city. It's not a great place to be looking up the sky, but, with our observatory, we're going to be opening that on a more regular basis on Friday and Saturday nights. People can come look through telescopes free of charge. Our building itself, we've got a brand new dinosaur exhibit that we just opened last week, and it's proving to be very popular. In fact, right now we're, undergoing a lot of visitations due to that new dinosaur exhibit. We have a dinosaur film inside our planetarium called Dinosaurs, A Story of Survival. That's part of our general mission, so people coming in can watch that show. That show, Dinosaurs, A Story of Survival, will be starting around May 14th. We have an IMAX theater here that has a bunch of different films, too, some on dinosaurs, some on other things like Africa. So they're sort of travelogues looking at those things. The IMAX films are always very popular because these images are so crisp and clear, it almost makes you feel like you're right there in these various environments. Plus, we have all these other exhibit gallery spaces here and science demonstrations that we do that really creates a full day experience for anyone that comes from anywhere to the Telus World of Science in Edmonton to take in any of these things. All the information for what we have offered is basically on our website. So if you're planning to come down to Edmonton, just look on our website and plan your day out, because there's so much to see and do that you definitely want to make sure you get to see what you want to see and plan out your day, because there's just so much to do.
Awesome stuff. Frank Florian, the Senior Manager of Planetarium and Space Sciences at the Telus World of Science in Edmonton. Thank you so much here for the time today.
Thanks again for the interview. All I can say is keep looking up, and let's hope for some clear skies for the solar eclipse.
That's our show for today. A big thank you to Frank Florian from the Telus World of Science in Edmonton for joining us on the show here today to discuss the solar eclipse coming up on Monday, as well as some other things happening in space and in the sky this year and next. That does it for a full week of shows here on Fort McMurray Matters. I hope you enjoyed them, and we'll be back with more on Monday here on Fort McMurray Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Ryan McNally. Have yourself a great day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.